The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Jim, you know that not a book will be cracked on field day. That's what my kids are doing
today.
Yeah,
it's a little stressful, though.
I don't think we have finished with my inbox.
What's Scott's Tots?
Has it really been 10 years? Local businessman pledges college tuition to third graders.
Please explain.
I'm it's stressful speechless. From the standpoint of, like, God, I hope I made it to the next grade. See what I'm saying?
No.
Michael, why did you promise that?
To change lives?
No, Michael, why would you promise that?
You know, okay.
A day in my life.
Third, fourth, fifth across my mind.
In fourth grade, you were worried about making it to fifth?
Yeah.
I fell in love with these kids, so I made them a promise. I told them that if they graduated from high school, I would pay for their college education. I've made some empty promises in my life, but hands down, that was the most generous.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They make it plan.
Saw something on the internet yesterday. And I don't know how to interpret it, how to react, how to make it make sense. There's a lot of things on the internet nowadays that I scratch my head. Is this real? Is this really the way someone thinks? So here's the latest example of that. It's a mom on social media who posted a text chain to another mom asking for $15 to cover her child's play date. Not a trip to the trampoline park, not a trip to the cafe for lunch, but to her house to play. Take a listen. I want to know why you're chuckling, but before we do, take a listen to this clip that I saw on social media yesterday.
After the play date, I text your mom and I said, thanks for letting Jamie play today. Please help out with your share of the expenses for the play date, totaling $15 via Venmo. Let's do it again sometime. Because I can't keep doing these play dates if it's so expensive. And she said, expenses?
So
$15 for the play date. I don't have it in front of me. I got to pull it up. There we go.
You got to turn on your microphone.
Oh, welcome back.
What's going on here? All of a sudden, everything's all janky. Everything's all wonky. All right, so the lady says, I need $15 for the play date. Your child came over to our house. It's going to cost you $15, like you're some sort of amusement park all of a sudden. Chewy, am I wrong? Is this? I think this is crazy.
Yeah. What does that cover? The sandwich for lunch?
So it covered, I believe, some snacks. It covered, apparently wear and tear on the couch that maybe they were sitting on to watch a couple episodes.
I've got the full list if you guys want it, because it is chaotic. Also, hey, I'm back.
How about the mother who she's asking $15 from has the play date at her house and just call it a wash?
This
you
mom
loser.
Charged $3 for bathroom trips.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That was the other thing they got charged
for. Yeah,
but
is this real? Do you think it's real?
All right, run down the list, because this is the list is
yes.
I can honestly see somebody going, you know, I'm hosting these things all the time. I'm buying fruit snacks for these kids. They won't stop eating them. Hey, how about a couple bucks for the fruit snacks? Right. I still disagree with it. But if that was just the list of, hey, I'm buying a bunch of snacks. Sure. But Ashton, what's on the list that makes at least me think this is fake?
Chalk, $1. Applesauce, $1. Fruit, $1. I'm kind of curious how much fruit we've got there, because that's kind of a good deal on fruit. Sat on couch for wear and tear, only $1. Broke a doll, $5. Cheap doll, get a new one. Three juice boxes, $2. Great deal. Three trips to the bathroom, $3. Terrible deal. And a yogurt, $1. That's kind of a good deal.
And she did say she received the money. So here's where I come from. I just thought all of this was implicitly understood to be included in a playdate. When you invite someone over to your house, you are covering certain expenses. We have a family from Connecticut staying with us. They're friends of ours, not just random. We're not just Airbnb the house this
week. Wow, nice. While also still living in the house.
What, do you got a hostel going over there or what?
Clear that up. We have some friends from Connecticut staying with us this week. Can you imagine the audacity if I was like, well, didn't have to get a hotel, stayed at our place, but that's going to cost you $50 a night. What a steal, right? Compared to the $150 you were going to spend at the hotel. No, you understand. When you invite someone over, you're incurring costs. In fact, they are paying you, if you want to make this transactional, with their company. And I will tell you this, from a mom standpoint, I appreciate every kid who comes over to my house to play with my kids so I don't have to, okay? Like, I understand they're doing me a big favor by occupying my kids for the amount of time that they're there.
But again, this is one of those things that, like Chewy said, you just assume is going to come out in the wash. I doubt that you're hosting every play date for your kid. So why don't next time your kid goes over to the other kid's house and then it all comes out and then she's going to pay you, or you have to pay her the $15 back? No, I just assumed, again, I don't have kids. So, you know, this is something that's not in my area of expertise, but I would just assume that this is one of those things that you assume comes out in the wash in the end.
Yes, but I'm remembering all of a sudden, aren't you the guy that if someone pays you for something, you give them the money back, like you sneak it into their pocket?
Or good point, Gabe. She got you there, buddy.
You are the guy who always feels like, no, you don't owe me. Like, you don't owe me. I'm going to give you your money back.
And oh, yeah. Like, I still owe, like, Eric Name, like, surprisingly bought drinks for me and some friends when he wasn't even there, like, called the restaurant ahead of time, bought us a bottle of wine for the table. I still got to get him back for that.
What a jerk.
Yeah, I know, right? Got to get him back.
I mean, I could see if the mother was taking the kids to the movies.
Sure.
Or to miniature golf or something. I get that. But if
Six
they're just
Flags.
At the house, I mean, give me a break.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, any of those sort of things. But I also think that it's usually a prearranged situation. Like, hey, we're going to go see Inside Out 2 at 3:30 at the Marcus. Tickets are $15 pop, but I got it. I'll cover the movie.
Tuesday, get a better deal.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, exactly. Go to a matinee.
get the cheaper price. Come on.
But the fact that she itemized the whole thing makes me believe it's fake.
Again, some of the items make sense. Charging a dollar every time a kid has to go pee?
Three? Wear and tear
a dollar
on the couch.
Every time they pee.
Yes.
And
there's three bathroom trips. Yes.
Again, how young is this child? My daughter is 6. She weighs 45 pounds. If your couch can't handle 45 pounds, if that's contributing to wear and tear, you got a crappy couch. Like,
why do you think they're charging? Got to save up for the new one, Jen.
800-990-3776. A mom sent an invoice and a request for $15 to another mom after hosting the child for a play date. And we think this is outrageous. But Chewy, I'm with you. This is fake, right?
This is
somebody creating content on the internet because they know that people are going to react to it. They know that there will be outrage. And then what they will do is share it with their cohorts, like I did yesterday, and then y'all will click on it, and then you click on it, and then you click on it, and every time someone clicks on it, cha-ching, 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 you don't have to charge your friends anymore for having their kids over.
Yeah, I feel bad for the kid, because no one's going to go over and play with them anymore, because of mother.
Do we know there is a kid?
Whoa, now we're going crazy.
I'd like to go down this theory for a second, Gabe.
Well, I'm just saying, again, if this whole thing is just performative anyway for clicks, like, we don't see in the video, we don't see any evidence of children. Like, this could be a random person who's just saying they have a kid, trying to farm the content and get a couple extra bucks off of TikTok or Instagram, wherever this video was originally posted.
So I was thinking about how I would react if I had received this from a mom of a classmate of my kids. And I think my initial reaction would be outrage and like, what? And then I think I would work my way through it and go, man, if they're that hard up for cash, like, yeah, I can kick them over $15. Like,
yeah.
I would do it for the person behind me at the grocery store in front of me at the grocery store. If all of a sudden they came up short for their groceries, like, so how is this any different than just like, again, $15 doesn't seem to be a make or break in my household. But maybe it is for other households. So I try to lean into that, like, you know, understanding, empathy angle of the thing. I don't know that everyone would feel that way. This mom, in this instance, if it's real, did end up paying the $15. I don't know if then going forward, she will have her daughter go over there anymore. Or do you just send her with cash?
Yeah.
When she walks in, you just buy a ticket at the door and they go, we're good? We're good. Does that cover us? Yeah.
Well, you got to tell the kids, stay off the couch. Just don't go.
Hold it as much as you
pee
can.
Pee outside.
Stay off the couch.
Gabe, what percentage of stuff on the internet nowadays is fake?
It's got to be like, what, 60?
What?
Yeah.
That's
I think it's a high percentage. I think a lot the issue with TikTok and Instagram and Twitter and Facebook is they will put up things, whether it's something like this, whether it's political, whether it's sports. Like, there are a lot of things that go up and people then start sharing because they're outraged. That's fake. There's no basis in reality.
Is it driven by clicks? All they want is click.
So for something like this, you know, for somebody putting a video up, like, if you have enough subscribers, if you have enough on like YouTube or TikTok, you can earn money from these entities because so many people are watching your video. They'll kick you back a little bit of money. So you can earn money if you put up an outrageous video like this. So a lot of people don't have shame. They'll do anything that they'll come up with any scenario to make a little bit of money.
There's also a lot of people out there that are nuts, flat out nuts.
Correct.
Would you like to speak for all of them, or
no? Well, I have a few of them in our not in our lives anymore, but they're nuts. They're insane.
So I think your point is it's hard sometimes to distinguish the nuts from the fakes.
From the actors.
Yeah. What do you want, the story? I'm not giving you the story.
Come on, you gave us the crumbs.
It seemed like you started. You wanted to go somewhere. We were just laying out to let you.
Yeah.
I'll just bleep it all out. You're good.
People that are nuts. They're crazy. They're insane.
Yeah, you said that already. We're not getting any more of
it. Come on, give me a name, buddy. I'm back. Give me
There's no name. It's
give me a story. Come on. I miss you.
I'm good. Yeah, how you doing? You know what you're doing back there or what?
Huh? What I'm trying to do is bait you into giving me content.
It's good stuff, but I can't dance around it. I just can't.
Okay.
You caused too much drama for yourself yesterday and you don't want to do it back-to-back days?
Yeah, I got in trouble.
Oh, boy.
That blew up. I mean, it worked the way I wanted it to work, but it went a little too far.
For those who weren't listening yesterday, what did you get yourself in trouble for?
The dogs.
This is news to me. I'm happy that you're sharing this with us.
The dogs.
Well, you knew there was going to be backlash. So Chewy's throwing a 4th of July party.
It's all ironed out.
There are
thanks to my father-in-law.
Some dogs he doesn't want to come over to his house because he doesn't want, you know, to be responsible for five dogs
but
running around his house.
Some people should realize, and you guys can attest to this, there's a difference with me on a Friday and a Monday.
Oh, no. You're backtracking.
Am I right or wrong?
Yeah, but yesterday you pointed out it wasn't a Monday yesterday.
It was a Wednesday,
That's true.
You did say that. I was listening.
What's today?
Today's a Thursday and a Tuesday.
On a Tuesday. Yeah.
What's the best day on a day to be? Like a Wednesday and a Monday?
Friday and a Monday?
Is that possible?
Yeah, you only work Monday.
I think Thursday's the best day off.
What?
Sounds good. You can work on Friday then after 4th of July.
Yes, we get Thursday off this week, but you can come back since, you know.
What's the best day off?
Won't get any better
than
Thursday off.
It's not Monday. Monday's not the best day off. And Friday's not the best day off.
What do you think, like a random Wednesday? No.
No, the best
Wednesdays.
If you only get one day off,
yes. Well,
additional day off.
Yes. If you only get, yes. So assuming you have Saturday, Sunday off.
Yes.
And you only get one additional one. It's Monday or Friday. You want to extend that into 3 days.
Here's why it's Thursday.
But then you got to go back to work.
If you have a good blammer Thursday, you're in a fog for the show, so it really doesn't matter.
Yeah, this was very specific to him.
Yeah, okay. Yep.
Yeah.
Not an everyman situation.
This is making a lot more sense.
You should charge the blammer for play dates.
Yeah, okay, perfect. On Thursday, Thursday.
He's coming over for lunch, but someone doesn't know.
What if you charged him? What if you said, for coming over, I used a paper plate, and I made you a sandwich, and you had a beverage, and that all total came together to $22. What would he say to you?
Can I pay you in corn?
And you'd say yes.
I can only eat so much corn. Yes. He would pay me in corn. Yes.
Very quickly.
We are on a total barter system. Money never changes hands between me and him.
But interestingly that you guys are bartering. Like there is an exchange of goods for services. I don't have that with any of my friends.
For him to get my mail while I'm in Florida.
What, do you give him a bottle of wine?
Close.
God, this is what we need. Package. I figured it out.
Yeah, never mind. I should have known.
We need the Chewy decimal system. And that's just for the name. It's not for how it works. But we need to know one bottle of wine equals how many activities that Blamer can do for you.
Conversion rate. Thanks. He's like a conversion rate.
A chew version, some might say.
Well, he never pays. That's the problem.
Well, then what are we doing here?
No, he never pays in barter. The barter only goes one way. Because I do use his barn, but his barn is way overvalued.
I have said this forever. You are paying for his company.
Yeah,
you're paying.
He entertains you.
Totally.
He keeps it light. You guys have fun. Right.
He's basically.
Let me ask you this: how much is a burger on Rot's Hots,
with or without cheese?
Loaded. He eats it loaded.
$12.
$12?
you get the tater tots.
You get the customer service. It's a big burger. You got a brioche bun.
He's going to eat on Thursday for lunch. Someone doesn't know yet.
She's three times.
Two burgers. Burgers. Probably. He invented a drink, too. He's
the Blammer, yeah.
Yeah, the Blammer.
That's why he's the Blammer.
Probably three Blammers. So how much is a mixed drink at an establishment? I have
$12 to $16.
So he's coming over and having...
There's no way you can do that, Matt.
Plus
what
tax
are we doing
here?
$50?
Yeah.
$50.
Yeah.
That's good cover charge, because there'll be the five kids, some neighbors.
How many meals is he going to take home with him?
That's true.
In the doggy bag.
For cover charge...
Six.
Cover charge for the Blammer.
That's been my favorite part about the Ashy Bash.
Cover charge for the Blammer for an hour and a half is probably, I mean, if he's charging $12 for a burger, probably $15. So it comes out in the wash. But then I get punished. Punishment.
It sounds like you could prevent the punishment if you really wanted to.
Yeah, the entertainment's too good, though.
I know.
It is. It's a good way to kick off the fourth. Yes.
I guess you just said it all comes out in the wash. That is my interpretation of how playdates typically work. My kid goes to your house. Your kid comes to my house. Rather than exchanging the $15 cost of admission, why don't we just accept that she's going to eat snacks when she goes to your house? Your kid's going to eat snacks when they come to my house? As long as we're not giving them bougie snacks, as long as your kid isn't asking for caviar or something ridiculous, we can all just kind of make it work.
Let's be honest. If a six-year-old came to my house, asked for caviar, I'd provide it. Just because I want to tell the story of the six-year-old who loves caviar.
800-990-3776. Your reaction this morning to a mom who asked another mom after the daughter came over for a play date for $15 to cover supplies. What were those supplies? Chalk, applesauce, fruit, Broca-Dol, juice boxes, three trips to the bathroom, a yogurt, and she sat on the couch. Wear and tear. Jason Wilde's coming up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Put. All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Jason Wilde has to say about this dilemma. Good morning, Jason. How are you doing today?
Not much. I got not much. What dilemma?
What dilemma? So there's a video circulating on social media of a mom who requested $15 from another mom whose daughter she had hosted for a play date. So the mom says, your daughter came over. The girls had a great time. Could you please Venmo me $15? And the mom was like, for what? And she said, for supplies. And she said, what supplies? And she said, well, they had chalk and they had applesauce and they had fruit and she broke a doll. Unfortunately, it cost $5. She had three juice boxes. She had three trips to the bathroom. She had one yogurt and she sat on our couch. So wear and tear, $1. And the itemized list made us feel like this was fake. But just in principle, this is absurd. to me that you would charge someone for having their daughter over.
Yeah. That it has to be a joke, right? The sitting on the couch for a dollar, that has to be the giveaway, right?
Well, that and the three bathroom trips costing a dollar each.
Yeah, in principle, we actually have, actually funny, I don't want to throw anybody's moms under the bus, so we will remove the names to protect the guilty. But Sydney went for a play date once, and here's my philosophy. When you assume the responsibility as a parent of looking out for someone else's child's welfare and safety and enjoyment by inviting them to your home or inviting them on a trip with you when you're going somewhere, you also assume the costs associated with that child joining you. You basically have added a child.
Agree.
And so Sydney went to a friend's house and they had Noodles and Company, which is not the most expensive dinner, right? They didn't go to the Tornado Room. They didn't go to Carnivore. So, and Paula gets a text from this mom that says Sydney's dinner was $6. And I was like, $6? And we need to pay that? So apparently there are people, including this seemingly hyperbolic example, that actually do believe that you that now if I offer it to you, you have the right to say, yeah, I'll take it, right? Hey, how much was Sydney's dinner? I want to make sure I pay you for that. And then you have the opportunity to say, no, come on, you don't have to pay for that. Or you can say, oh, $6, and then you take my money. But to ask for it or to send an itemized bill is preposterous.
I am thrilled that you shared that with us, Jason, because we kind of were under the impression that this whole thing was contrived. But it may just be an exaggeration of what some people are doing, which, again, I agree with you. You assume the responsibility and you assume the cost. Now, again, if it's extraordinary, if when we were out and about, the kids decided that they wanted to do indoor skydiving and it was $90 a person. And I was like, I don't know, $90. And I said, but even in that instance, I would text or call the parent and say, hey, we happen to be here. The kids want to do indoor skydiving. It's $90 a person. How do you feel about that? And then give them the option to turn it down or accept it, right? Like, but meals or any other sort of thing that like you're doing with your kids anyway, I find that to be ridiculous.
Yeah, we're not taking somebody else's kid to Taylor Swift. Although Sydney's trying to figure out a way to get to Indianapolis, and I'm like, okay, do I drop you off at Lucas Oil Stadium, because we're in a tax bracket where maybe I can afford one ticket, but I'm going to have to sit outside and work on my scouting combine memories or something. If I may, before we get to anything more important, indoor skydiving?
Well, I was just trying to think of something that would be extravagant, you know, like they have one down.
Is that a thing?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They have it down in Rosemont.
Yeah.
Whoa, wait a minute here. I have some people that might be interested in that kind of thing. Is it safe?
Oh, so safe. Yeah. It's so safe.
You're only like 4 feet off the ground.
Yeah, we did it. You're in a wind tunnel. We did it in Germany, which is hilarious. Every time we pass the one in Rosemont, Illinois, we go, you know, there's an indoor skydiving place right here. But we went to Germany to indoor skydive. And just so you know, your girls are athletic. Chase, who did it last year, so he was 14, absolutely crushed it. Absolutely dominated. After his second time in the tunnel, the guy was teaching him all of these tricks. He was flipping. He was moving. It took me a little longer than that to figure out the basics.
Jason, Angie almost burned down the Tornado Room. It's kind of a funny story.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Don't give me, it's kind swear of a to funny God, story Jimmy. And then be afraid to tell the story because she's going to get
well, this is what happened.
Story, tell there the we story. Go.
Thank you.
I love the Tornado Room. Great place, right, Jason? And
I've never eaten there. It's out of the tax bracket.
Well, it's kind of an old school kind of supper club, and I went to the bathroom, and the menus there are huge paper menus, right? So Angie, I'm in the bathroom, decides to put it on a lit candle, you know, for the ambiance.
Oh, dear.
And the thing is in flames. She's on her phone, and it's right in front of her. She doesn't even notice it. But if you know my wife, you understand. So I come back, and there's water all over the table, and it looked like someone let a fire hose go. I'm like,
she had a douse the
what flame. The hell happened? She's like, oh, I put the paper menu on the candle. And I'm like, not surprised. Not surprised one bit. Jason, do we have an update on Tucker Kraft and Zach Tom?
We do not. We have not seen either of them. We are less than 3 weeks away from the start of camp. And players that are quarterbacks, rookies, and I think some of the injured players will report on the 17th. So we're 15 days out from that. I am still a skeptic on the idea that either one of those guys will be ready for the start of camp. Certainly Tucker Kraft, in my opinion, won't be. I had a good conversation with him toward the end of the offseason program. He seemed very confident that he was going to be ready at some point, but if it's 2 weeks in, 3 weeks in, he felt like, even though he is only a second-year player, that he was in a good position to be able to get caught up quickly. You know, these are two offensive guys. If it was defensive guys starting a new system, maybe it would be a little bit bigger of a concern. And Zach Tom, who's a couple of weeks ahead of Tucker Kraft because he suffered the injury earlier, I think he has higher hopes of being ready for the first day of camp. But, you know, again, in our conversation, I think it was Bill Huber and I that were talking to him at one point. Like, and I don't want to sound like Zach Tom is at the same point in his career as Tausch or Bulaga or Earl Dotson or anybody else who's played right tackle at a high level for this team, but like he's played at a really high level. And so if he's not able to go for the first couple weeks, where he's at in his development, I'm not real worried about him. I just want to make sure if I'm Matt LaFleur that he has gotten enough work and is feeling healthy enough that he's ready to go on September 6th in Brazil.
Jason, you always had a good working relationship with Randall Cobb. Have you checked in at all with him to see how the family's doing after their house caught fire because of a Tesla charger last week?
I did. I texted him and Ida right away. And as I think he's mentioned on social media, he was inundated with messages. Look, I understand that there are some Packers fans who, I don't want to say it's the transitive property of aggravation, but that were down on Rodgers and now have become especially down on Rodgers because of how we've seen things work effectively in the second half of last season with a quarterback who runs the plays that the coach designs and a quarterback who's not trying to take over personnel and all the other stuff. But Randall Cobb is one of the all-time great dudes and human beings that have played for this team. I always like to point this out. The first two people from the organization that I heard from when Paula was diagnosed with breast cancer, which I only told one PR person because I was going to miss some availability during that season, like with the Zoom calls and stuff, because it was during COVID. The two people I reached out right away were Mike McCarthy and Randall Cobb and his wife. And that does not make you a great guy, but I have a preponderance of evidence to tell you what an incredible guy he is. I also think I feel some measure of affinity for him because he dealt with a rocky growing up situation and some challenges in his family, and he has overcome them to become a phenomenal dad and husband. And so I respect the hell out of him for all those things. But that was, I don't know about you, I don't know much about electricity and cars, and that's why I call Keith when I have any questions about electricity. And by the way, he totally helped me through another process, and I think he's very proud of the fact that we got a lot of really good mileage on the radio out of me calling him by the wrong name. Gabe's dad is named Mark, by the way, for those of you joining us late. But I didn't really understand how severe it was. If Paula had mentioned she'd seen it on social media. And then did you look at the videos of that? Like, I couldn't believe how much damage there was. And so anyway, the long answer to your short question is, yeah, I corresponded with him.
Jason, Pro Football Focus ranked the top offensive lines headed into this season. The Packers are not on it. The Detroit Lions are the top offensive line, according to ProFootballFocus.com. I think I saw the Jets on that list. Eagles, Colts, Browns, Jets, Falcons, Chiefs, Bills, Steelers, Cowboys. That rounds out the top 10. Do the Packers need to have a top 10 offensive line in order to be a top team in the NFC, a Super Bowl candidate, or can they be successful without having a top 10 unit there?
Well, I understand why they're not on the list, right? Or at least in the top 10. Because if you're going to start either a rookie first-round pick or a third-year guy who was a seventh-round pick, I don't think the expectations are real high at left tackle. And they need to be. We all agree that that's – while other positions have become more important over the years from the time Chewy played, you still need a stud at left tackle. And whether they have a limited pedigree or they were high picks and come in and play right away, you need somebody who's a really good player. And I think there's a chance that Rashid Walker is going to be able to hold on to that job. I really do. I really like his competitiveness. They really love his feet. So I wouldn't necessarily say, well, the first round pick is here, this guy's going to lose the job. Now, that said, I can't put him in the top 10 when there's a question at the most important spot on the offensive line. And there's other questions too. Like, who exactly is Sean Ryan? Like, he was a disappointing third round pick, played one snap as a rookie, and then got suspended. And then they did the rotational thing last year, but they let a guy who started 50 games for them. And as we've talked about before, the kind of guy that in past years, you probably would have re-signed to kind of a middling offensive lineman deal that they just plug and play and we'll start with somebody else. And that's been a shift in their mentality. So they don't belong in the top 10. I'm more intrigued by the fact that the Jets are. Like, have they, Gabe, you being the national guy that you are, have they remade their offensive line to such a degree that they belong in the top 10? Because that was one of the major issues, even before Rodgers tore his Achilles, about whether or not Rodgers was going to succeed there.
I mean, if it was 2019, sure. They signed up a bunch of old guys who have injury issues.
Right.
And on paper,
right,
those guys, yes, are very good when healthy, but the problem is they're rarely, if ever, healthy.
Tyron Smith is like 72 years old.
Yeah, he's older than Chewy.
He's out there with a cane.
Hard to kind of slide out when you got that walker. You know, you're trying to kick out the left end.
Well, he's got the tennis balls on it. It's much more mobile than you think. All right, Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us today. Have a great one. We'll talk to you again soon.
The tennis balls line was a really good ad there. All right, guys, take care. Be good.
Thank you, sir. If you love sports betting, you got to make your way to the Sportsbook at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. It has everything a sports fanatic could want and more. If you haven't been there yet, you are really missing out, guys. First, a 2,000-square-foot wall, a video wall where you can watch multiple games all at once. If you're Ashton, you probably would have watched the soccer team lose last night.
No, no, Jen, please.
Okay, but later?
Yes, definitely.
Fantastic. They have a new restaurant. It's called The Kitchen. The aromas and the scents will bring you right in. They've got seating for more than 200 people. They've got a broadcast booth and a first-class bar. And, of course, if you're in a rush, they have 20-minute reserved parking spaces near the Skywalk. They have figured it all out. So you need to figure it out and get over to the sports betting spot at Pottawatomie, the new sports book, to get in on the action.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Can I be Chuck Woolery?
Yeah, Tiny Mike.
I mean,
average.
I mean,
no, I want to ask the questions. Tiny Mike
on 94.5 ESPN. Woo!
Yeah! All right! Celebrating a huge day here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. If you missed any of our conversation with Jason Wilde, you can find it on Wisconsin On Demand, wherever you get your podcast. In that conversation, we were discussing Pro Football Focus's offensive line rankings. The Lions have the top spot, which makes sense. They've got Penei Sewell. They've got Frank Ragnow. Those are two guys who are young enough and talented enough to carry that offensive line. We mentioned that the Jets were in there as well in the top 10. But if you're wondering where the Packers came in, guys, scrolling, 14. And as Jason mentioned, you can understand why they're not in the top 10. But here's what it says. Insert reading on the radio. Rashid Walker, a 2022 seventh rounder, appears to be David Bakhtiari's successor at left tackle. And while he went through some growing pains in 2023, his 66.3 PFF overall grade ranked 44th among offensive tackles. On the other side of the line, Zach Tom built on a strong rookie campaign and was better in 2023. The Packers lost John Runyon in free agency, but Sean Ryan was rotating with Runyon at right guard towards the end of last season, bringing some experience to the position. Jason brought up left tackle, Gabe. Are we sure that Jordan Morgan isn't going to be the left tackle this season?
No, we're not sure. I mean, it very well could be Rashid Walker. We didn't think Walker was going to be the starter last year. We just all assumed it was going to be Yosh Nijman. And as, well, the entire coaching staff let us know, they did not like the way that Yosh competed for that spot. We know that Rashid Walker is going to compete no matter what. And it's not a big deal if Morgan isn't starting from day one. And Brian Bulaga, he wasn't originally supposed to start when he was a rookie. Tausch ended up getting hurt. Bulaga slid in that Super Bowl season. David Bakhtiari wasn't originally slated to start. Bulaga got hurt, and he slid in to left tackle. So some of these better tackles that they've had over the years, part of the plan was, all right, you're going to sit for a little bit. Maybe you're part of the rotation. They like Morgan's versatility. Maybe he competes for that right guard spot. But I can see why the Packers don't rate high on this list. There are too many question marks right now across that offensive line.
Zach Tom is a huge concern to me.
Especially with the pec injury.
With the pec injury, because linemen need their strength. That was always my nightmares before I went to a training camp, was not being prepared for the start of the season. I had to be strong so I could block 300-pound defensive linemen. That was just my game. When you can't bench press or you can't do any upper body for an extended amount of time, and all of a sudden they're throwing you, because they're not going to wait until, let's say, he benches 450 pounds. They're not going to wait for him to get up to that benchmark where he benches 450, because there's just not enough time. That, to me, is a big concern. It's like a receiver in the offseason, use Christian Watson, that's got a bad hamstring the whole offseason, can't sprint, can't run routes, and then you plug him in. That really affects your game. So I think that is a big part of why they're getting such bad preseason grades right now, is the uncertainty of Zach Tom.
We nobody seems to like Josh Myers at center, right? Like, we're talking, this will probably be the last year for him, and then they'll figure something else out.
But we didn't think that Zach Tom was going to officially move over there, even though that conversation came up in the offseason as a potential option.
But it seems like nobody's super high on him, and they're just waiting to replace him.
Here's the problem, Jen, with a bad offensive line, right? Not a bad, but just an okay offensive line. Take your 7-step drops.
Get rid of them.
Either throw them out, or you run 3 of them. It limits you so much. So then you're limited to 3-step drops and 5-step drops, which the 7-step takes away your not your go routes, but your 21-yard digs to the outside and things like that. You just don't have time to throw them. So it does kind of limit your playbook. The only benefit is when they kind of have a 5-headed monster, you know? You got a great running back. You can put 3 receivers in and a very good tight end, where you can address that.
If you're saying you have a offensive line, isn't that tight end going to be blocking?
Isn't that tight end going to be holding either up one of the... that or the running back? You know,
so I'm mean, just saying, I think I off think, the field as far as like a downfield threat or a middle of the field threat.
I would think they wouldn't want to use the tight end first. I think they'd want to use a running back to secure things just so you can get that tight end out. And I think that's what they'll do. But your route tree adjusts, you know. You can't, like I said, run those deep routes. But they have enough guys to run the short crossing routes and stuff like that. They'll be fine. It's not the luxury you want with a great offensive line. Then you'd feel real good. But we're just going to have to see how this plays out.
A lot of young talent, Gabe. Would you be surprised if there was more than one rookie on this offensive line by season's end? I mean, depending on how Jacob Monk does. And then who's the other guy? Grover, Glover, Glee?
The president?
Grover?
Yeah. Cleveland?
The Muppet?
Glover?
I would be surprised if more, unless there's injuries. I mean, because we're even talking about an offensive line that potentially has 0 rookies to start the season.
Sure.
If Sean Ryan and Rashid Walker end up staying in their positions. But like Chewy said, the big monkey wrench here is how healthy is Zach Tom? Because Tom's supposed to be one of the anchors, and then Elton Jenkins is your best offensive lineman. You kind of figure out the rest around those two. And if one of those two is injured and you don't know how available he's going to be at the beginning of the season, that makes things really interesting.
It's like
too.
I said yesterday, where if you're healthy in the offseason, you start day one training camp at 100%. Zach Tom ain't starting it at 100%. He may be starting at 93, 94, and then it gets pared down from that as far as the season goes.
So let's put this on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll. Pro Football Focus has them ranked 14th right now, headed into the season. And as Gabe has mentioned, still a lot of fluidity as to who is going to be where when the season finally does start. So what I want to know is this. Do you think the Packers will be in the top 10 by season's end? Do you think that this unit will gel and they will figure it out? And then all of a sudden, as the season goes on, they will move up those ranks. And by season's end, you will have a top 10 offensive line. Because, to Chewy's point, Jordan Love's success sort of depends on it, right? Like, one of the luxuries he had was how well the offensive line played last year. And that allowed him to make some mistakes and cover up his mistakes. You know what I'm saying? So, like, it is important for that unit, obviously, to gel, to get cohesion as the season goes on. Will they be in the top 10 by season's end? Gabe?
I lean towards no.
Yeah, but they always figure out the O-line.
I think it's going to be fine.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be close to that, but I don't know if it'll necessarily be a problem, but I don't think we're going to be going, oh, man, they're really winning games because of this offensive line. I don't know if that's a conversation we're going to be having in December.
If you look at the Packers' offensive line over the last 30 years, they're always up there, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're never the worst. They're not even in the middle. They're always middle and forward. That's why I think they figured it out. Top 10, we'll have to wait and see. Because remember early in the year last year, like, oh, this offensive line is terrible.
Yeah.
They're horrible. And then they figured it out by year's end, and they were pretty damn good. So,
yeah, but you've got me more worried about the Zach Tom injury than I was, Chew, like, mm-hmm. when I first heard about it.
Sure. It's a bad injury for an offensive lineman just because he needs that chest in order to hold off people or to drive people. So we just have to, you know, wait and see how this plays out.
Is your business looking for localized banking solutions and a strategic partner? Fifth Third Bank has been looking forward to the future and helping businesses shape what's next for 165 years and for the last 15 here in Milwaukee. They offer industry-specific expertise, local decision-making capabilities, and extensive experience to help navigate the complexities of a constantly changing business market environment. With your business in mind. Fifth Third is big enough to provide sophisticated solutions and expert guidance, but also empowered to make local decisions here in Milwaukee and work from a foundation of strong community connections. Commercial banking value that only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Ryan and McGuadigo weighing in. Hey, if you find something that sucks for 25 years, you hold on to that.
Yeah, that is. Very good point.
Because usually the sucking only happens before you get married, and then the sucking just stops.
We're going to get fired.
Yeah. On 94.5 ESPN.
Reaction rolling in all morning long on the ESPN Milwaukee Talk and Text Line. Justin saying, I'm not shocked by the preseason rankings, but Goody has been fantastic at building the offensive line and drafting linemen. It's probably his biggest strength. It's the one area I have full confidence in his personnel evaluation. They will be in the top 10 when it is all said and done. Confidence there from Justin in the 262. We also put on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll this morning about the video of the mom asking for playdate expenses. It is going viral. Is she going too far? No, it's a fair ask to request $15 from another mom after you hosted her child for a play date. Yes, suck it up, pay the $15. Go ahead and weigh in on that. Reaction rolling in, guys. And there are people who are saying this would be grounds to end the friendship. This would be grounds to not allow your child to play with that child going forward. Is it $15? I mean,
The couch thing in the bathroom. Put it over the edge, I think. That's an eye roller.
Yeah. I think if the kids are good enough friends, you try to work it out being like, hey, your kid's going to come over to my house at some point too. Are you expecting me to charge you for fruit snacks, the granola bar, the paper that they use markers for?
Right, but if it never occurred to you prior to this interaction to charge, then you would only be charging to tit for tat, and that's petty, right? Look at you going, yeah, Captain Petty reporting for service, reporting for duty.
We're here. This person's the one who drove me there. It's not my fault.
I would have negotiated it down. How about a quarter? For the couch?
What kind of toilet are you using? Yeah. It's a dollar a flush here.
Is there a bathroom discount?
Yeah. Frequent flyer miles, anything of that nature.
Dave's saying what we all said, which is whenever the neighborhood kids come over, it's pretty normal that snacks and stuff will be given out. I'm sure when my kid goes to other people's houses, it's the same. I think Dave is saying this is strange. And look, we're bypassing what we believe to be the fakeness of it. We think it's fake. In fact, somebody wrote in saying fake, as Elaine Bennis once famously said. Yes, the internet is wont to have people put out fake stuff for outrage. But we're just trying to, like, if someone did this to you, if you were presented with this invoice, how would you react? Would you go, oh, that's the price of doing business?
I'm just waiting for Chew to charge people to go to the bathroom at his party on the 4th of July.
Oh, Chew.
You should go outside.
Chew, you know what you really should do is charge for the dogs to be there.
It's a good point.
Actually.
Still got 2 days.
Actually.
Just saying.
Yes, it's like when you have when you bring your dogs to a hotel.
Yeah.
Right?
It's Chew, like, you and I are so back, buddy.
Let's just hope.
Incidental fees.
The same thing doesn't happen with the dog this year where I caught the dog eating half of the taco dip. And we didn't have another app, so I just scraped that part away and left it.
Well, Blammer ate the other half.
No, my father-in-law did. He's like, that's why I had the turds? I'm like, yep. Dog's mouth is not cleaner than humans, by the way.
I'm not going over to your house. It's settled.
Unless the food is covered.
Jen Gibb and Chewy rolls on right after this.